Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Now, there's been widespread international condemnation of Israel after dozens of people were killed yesterday following an Israeli airstrike on a refugee camp in Rafah in southern Gaza. At least 45 people were killed and more than 200 others injured in the attack, mainly women and children. That's according to the Gaza Health Ministry. In Brussels, Tánaiste Micheál Martin said EU foreign ministers have today, for the first time, discussed the prospect of sanctions against Israel if it doesn't comply with an order from the International Court of Justice. For more, we're joined now from Gaza by Sam Rose, who's Director of Planning with UNRWA. And Sam, thank you for joining us. As I say, you're in Gaza. Can you tell us at this point, what do we know about the IDF strike on the refugee camp?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I mean, what we know is that this happened at about 9:30 yesterday night. It was dark. It was very windy, as we've seen from the fires in a tented camp, about 200 metres or within 200 metres of a large UNRWA facility. We believe that 6 to 8 missiles landed in the camp, resulting in the horrific deaths, the horrific killings of, we now understand this to be about 45 people and many, many more injured.
And because of the severe lack of hospitals that we've been hearing about in Gaza, has there been any medical facility that has the capacity to look after those 200 people who've been injured?
Yeah, I mean, look, sadly, tragically, the hospitals in Gaza have a lot of experience in dealing with trauma care. They've been supported as well by a number of international medics as well. But a situation like this overwhelms any medical system. We've only got about 10 of 36 functioning hospitals in Gaza anyway. Two of the main hospitals in Rafah have been forced to close because they're inside the evacuation zone. So we're hearing that the hospitals are completely overwhelmed, that people are showing up, yes, with burns, but also with horrific shrapnel wounds, which can only have come from the munitions if these were missiles that landed on a tented camp. So really, really difficult for the hospitals that also have limited fuel, have limited medical supplies, and ability for doctors and medics to reach them has also been massively constrained by the ongoing situation.
This was a declared safe zone, so civilians were told to go there by the IDF. Was there any attempt, as far as you're aware, to evacuate civilians from the area before the attack?
No, as far as we understand, this came completely out of the blue. It was completely unexpected. As I said, people were asleep. People were in bed, and it took them completely unawares, as these things do every day, every night, every minute of the day across Gaza, or at least that's been the experience since the 7th of October. And given the circumstances of this incident, it's particularly sickening.
This attack came after Hamas launched rockets at Tel Aviv on Sunday, and that was the first time it had done that, I think, since January. The IDF say this was partly retaliation for that Hamas attack.
I mean, I can't comment on the back and forth. What I can see that this was a civilian population, predominantly women and children. And we'd have to ask what kind of circumstances justify a response such as this. I mean, we seem to be plumbing new depths every day, or at least with this conflict. And yet, again, we seem to have hit another low. But there are rules of war. There's international humanitarian law, which requires that parties to the conflict, both sides, protect the humanitarian and civilian nature of populations, and also principles of proportionality. And it's hard to see how a principle of proportionality could justify the senseless killing, the senseless murder of, yeah, as I say, what we believe to be almost 50 people right now.
Of course, it's just 4 days since the International Court of Justice ruled last week that Israel must immediately halt its military action in Gaza. Israel said it has not and will not conduct military actions in the Rafah area, which will inflict on the Palestinian civilian population in Gaza conditions of life that could bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. And they vowed to press ahead with their plans. I don't know, what do you think are the prospects at this point for peace? I know negotiations were due to reopen.
I mean, I can't really talk in relation to prospects for peace. They would seem to be at a low point at this point. But if this is not a wake-up call for the international community to say enough is enough and make this incident the last incident in the last war, and that there's a collective effort to work together to safeguard the lives and the futures of Palestinians and Israelis by refusing to accept what's going on and seeking a real settlement to the conflict.
And what is the situation on the ground like there today then, Sam, after that attack? I mean, what are people saying? And is there anywhere for people who were in that area that was bombed last night? Is there anywhere else that they can go?
They stay there, or they move to a beach area or a barren land on the beach where there are no services, no facilities, no space. People are numb from all the kind of brutal violence that affects and impacts every level of their being and their lives in Gaza. And this is one particularly tragic incident that comes on top of that. But we continue to work as the United Nations. We've been able to resume our food distributions inside Rafah. Our health clinics outside the evacuated areas continue to provide services. So life doesn't go on, but our services go on. And we continue to do what we can to assist and protect the population. But the space that we have is being increasingly squeezed by all sorts of restrictions.
And on that point, I know part of the ICJ judgment last week was that more international aid should be allowed into Gaza. Have you seen evidence of that happening?
No, we haven't really. I mean, what we've seen is the reopening of Rafah and Kerem Shalom for Egyptian trucks coming through. We welcome that development. But following the rocket fire yesterday into Israel, the mission to retrieve that aid and distribute that aid was halted. It had to be aborted. We're hopeful that we as the United Nations will be able to get some supplies in. But we're operating in an increasingly active conflict zone. So our ability to enter that zone, move within it and out and about and distribute those supplies is extremely difficult, extremely complicated and quite dangerous. So yes, we are hopeful, but it remains to be seen once we get those supplies in and start distributing.
Just finally then, can I ask you about the reports that I know very many people, up to 800,000 people have been fleeing Rafah since May 6th, since Israel announced it would begin its military operation there. Do we know where they have gone and what conditions are like there for them?
We do, and it's close to 1 million people now, which is almost half the population of the entire Gaza Strip. But they're being pushed either into the coastal area of Mawasi. It's sand dunes on the beach. It's barren land that's already highly overcrowded. That's where I'm calling to you from now. Or they're being pushed into Khan Yunis, which was subjected to intense bombardment a few weeks ago in a six-week operation and has been largely destroyed. Or they've pushed up further into the middle areas of the Gaza Strip. But they're leaving because of the situation that they find themselves in, not because what they're going to is particularly pleasant. These are overcrowded, cramped, increasingly hot areas, very difficult to receive services, to provide water, infrastructure, toilets, healthcare, etc. So really squalid conditions that most people find themselves in.
Sam Rose with UNRWA, thank you very much for joining us.